The Holy Gospel for this first Sunday in Advent is taken from Mark chapter 13. Jesus said, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. About that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
It's very peaceful in church this morning. Very nice. What certain times in my life, usually when they've been times of chaos, when things weren't really going my way, I found myself crying out, much like Isaiah did, and wondering, "Where are you, God? Do you hear me when I pray? Do you care about your people? Show me a sign. Reveal yourself to me." And then I would wait. I'd wait for something to happen. Advent is a time of waiting. We're waiting for God. We're waiting for God to happen in our world. For God to come to us as Emmanuel, as God with us. As the days grow darker and drearier, we long for that presence of God in our lives, for that reassurance, for that comfort, for that peace. Because we know that life can be hard, really hard. It can be lonely, sad, confusing, chaotic, painful. Our world is not the way God created it to be. We are not who God created us to be. We don't relate to one another in the way that God intended us to relate to one another. And we yearn for God's presence in our hurting world. And we wait. Waiting can be sometimes excruciating. The sound of God's silence, deafening. Like the prophet Isaiah, we long for God to tear open the heavens and come down. Come, God, and be present. Come and be very real. Isaiah, the prophet, knew much about this painful silence of God. He was an Israelite, and he was in exile in Babylon. When he finally returned to his home in Jerusalem, he found the whole city absolutely destroyed. Even the holy temple, which was that physical sign of God's presence with the people, that too was in ruins, was demolished. Everything, the whole city was ruined. People were discouraged. They didn't know what to do or where to turn. Now, Isaiah knew the stories of faith that had been handed down through the generations. He knew how God was very visible and near in the rescue of God's people in Egypt, from the Exodus from Egypt. And he was deeply troubled because at this point in his life and in the life of God's people, God didn't seem very real or near. God was not visible or powerfully present. Isaiah longed for God to be as God had been in the past. He prayed. We heard that this morning. He prayed. He prayed that God would bring fire and earthquakes to make God's enemies tremble. Oh, he cried, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Yet God did not come in power and might. God didn't rescue the people from their distress. Their lives continued to be lived in the midst of the ruins, and they felt ruined. They were only a shadow of what they had been in the past. They felt like their suffering was met with silence. So Isaiah cried out to God again, and he said, "You have hidden your face from us." And he waited. And he waited, wanting and longing again for something to happen, for God to happen in the world. In the midst of that waiting, in the midst of that silence of God, in the midst of his desperate longing, Isaiah cried out one more time, maybe to remind himself and maybe to remind God. He says, "Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. You are the potter and we are the clay. We are all the work of your hand." Dabbled in a lot of different art forms, and it's fun to do. I like creating art because art, I feel like, is an expression of who I am, of what I think and what I feel. And yet I also know that it's more than that, because there's that spirit of creativity, which I believe is God's spirit, that comes out when we make art. Creating art gives me hope. And because it reminds me of who I am, and even more importantly, of who I am becoming, that my life is in God's hands. So if God is the potter, if God is an artist, which we believe that God is, then we as human beings created by God are creative expressions of God. Of who God is and who God is becoming. Each and every one of us is God's work of art. Michelangelo, the great sculptor, once said, "In every stone there is a soul, and my job is to release it." So for an artist, every stone, every blank page, every blank wall, every empty canvas, every piece of wood or piece of fabric, every skein of yarn, every lump of clay, every human being, every open heart contains possibilities for new beginnings, because we are God's work of art. And we know that as we live this life, it's a creative process, one that's not always clear to us. Because for most of us, in the midst of life's difficulties and challenges, God does not rescue us like a superhero with power and might, with earthquakes and fire. But rather, God's presence is gentler. It's quieter. More subtle. And if we're not careful, and if we're not looking for it, we might actually even miss it. Because in times of pain, when God seems silent, even though we might not realize it, God is with us, pouring over us, centering us, shaping us, and forming us into a blessing, into a creative piece of art. As I think about the season of Advent and this time of waiting, I believe that this is the hope and the prayer of Advent. That as we wait, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of destruction and despair, that God's hand is upon us and in our lives, that we are being recreated and renewed as God's beloved children. Because time and time again, God breaks into our world. God breaks open our lonely, sad hearts, our hurting souls, and God's love enters in. Not always the way we expect it, but always in the way that we need it. Because this love always brings promise. The promise of peace. The promise of hope. The promise of new life in Christ's name. The promise of Emmanuel, who is God with us. We know that this love of God changes us. And it changes our world. For this reason, we are people of hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.